This is Doug Miller. You can fight God all you want, but you will always lose. He is sovereign, and he will have the last word. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time. Microphone in hand, or one hand anyway, Bible in the other hand, and here to look into the Word of God with all of you who are out there. We are in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, and we will probably finish up the book or that chapter today. So bring along your Bibles and open up to Acts 5. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there. And, of course, as I always say, we are utterly dependent on our listeners for support. Please pray for Dialogue. Write us down on your prayer list. And it doesn't have to be an elaborate prayer, but just tell the Lord about us and just support us in your prayers. And tell others. You're the only advertising budget we're going to have. Okay, we'd also like to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again later on. We also, all of our programs are available, I think all of them are, on our webpage, dialogueministries.org. That's all one word, Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, .org. And if you'll go on the webpage, why, you can pull these programs up and listen to them. And it's a marvelous thing to think about, but via the international net or the web, whatever it is, we're out all over the world with these broadcasts. So, once again, we need your prayers. And you can email us if sitting down and writing with pen and paper is not your thing. It is Dialogue Ministries, once again, all one word, at sbcglobal.net. Okay, Dialogue Ministries, sbcglobal.net. Okay, all the preliminaries are over. Let's look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 17. We have got the disciples who have been out preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the high priest rises up and puts them in prison, we see in verse 17. They are angry. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Now, these individuals are bound and determined that they are going to stamp out this preaching of the gospel, the good news. And what is the gospel that that these men were preaching? Well, that Jesus was Messiah, that he had come to offer the kingdom, that the high priest and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of these hotshots had rejected him. And you'll notice the sect of the Sadducees are right in the middle of this thing in verse 17. They've rejected the Lord. They've thrown him into prison and crucified him, rather. But he was buried, he rose again the third day, and he has ascended into heaven. Now, everything these men have done to try to stop the Lord have only strengthened him. He is now in heaven at the right hand of God the Father in glory. The Holy Spirit has been sent forth. And now, where there were a handful of believers in him, there are now many of them. And notice that the message that these men were out preaching and proclaiming is exactly, in many ways, the one that we are preaching and proclaiming today, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The only substantial difference in what I'm preaching today and what they were preaching then is that these were Jewish men, and they did not yet understand fully what God was going to do with the Gentiles and with the church. And they just had a very limited understanding. They were simply thinking still in terms of Israel and the Jews. But they're in jail now, and let's see what we've got here in verse 19. How long do they stay in jail? Not long. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand, and speak in the temple of the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Well, surprise! Look at verse 22. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Well, these keepers are in a lot of trouble. I don't know whether they know that or not, but I think they probably do. If you were one of the keepers of the prison and you didn't keep the prison, the penalty frequently was death. But the high priest and the captain of the temple, notice in verse 24, and the chief priests heard these things, and they doubted of them whereof this would grow, whereunto this would grow. Then came one in verse 25 and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. Now, very interesting. We put them in jail. They're back out there doing exactly what they were doing before we got them and put them in jail. And what we've done has come to exactly nothing. Well, they can't seem to keep these guys locked up, so we will now, they're now going to threaten them, and we'll see this. And that comes to nothing either. They are in a bad situation here. And, of course, this is exactly the way it's always been and is always going to be. God has His people, and He has His teachers and His preachers. He still is sending people forth with the gospel. And this word is going to go forth until God determines that it shouldn't go forth anymore. And when God gets through with that, then judgment will fall for sure. But as long as the door of grace is open, this gospel's going out there. And some of you who are listening to me, you may not like the gospel very well. I don't know why you tuned in today. Some of you may be driving along the road and just kind of be tuning your radio back and forth and have no idea why you're listening to this. So for all of you out there, though, listen. The gospel's going out, and nothing that anyone can do is going to stop it, as these guys found out just then. Well, notice they bring the disciples here before the council, and the high priest said, "Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Isn't that an interesting one? It hasn't been many days before that this same crowd stood before Pontius Pilate when he washed his hands. You remember that little scene after he had condemned this innocent man, our Lord Jesus, to be crucified, called for water, washed his hands, and said, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just man." Well, of course, he wasn't. You don't get rid of the blood of the Lord Jesus that easily. But nevertheless, the crowd that were listening to him, some of these same people, no doubt, these scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, His blood be upon us and upon our children, they cried. Well, that was an unfortunate statement to make. Many of the people today who are listening to me, the Jews, of course, many of them don't wish to believe that their leaders ever said anything like this. They would have you say, well, I mean, yeah, it says that in the New Testament, but we don't believe they said it. Well, they did say it. That's exactly what they did say. And it was an unfortunate statement to make because they were speaking for their generations down across the years. Their blood, his blood be upon us and upon our children. We'll take the responsibility for it. Well, you know, Peter, as we have seen him preaching before, and we will see him preaching again, he places the blame squarely on them. Now, let me say something about that. I know, I understand what the blood libel is. I understand this false doctrine of deicide that's been proclaimed in the Roman Church for years. I understand that it's a false teaching, and I understand how it has been used to persecute the Jews. The guy speaking to you here is a Jew lover. I love him, and I am not about to get involved in any kind of persecution of these earthly people of the Lord. But the greater responsibility for crucifying the Lord was upon them. Do you know why? It's because they had greater light. It's not that the Gentiles were innocent. We are all in this together in a real important sense. He died for us all. It was the sins of mankind, Jew and Gentile, that put him on that cross. But when it comes to the act of putting him up there, the Jews bear the greater responsibility because they had the word of God in hand. And Jesus said, to whom much is given, of him will much be required. These Gentiles were just an ignorant bunch of idolaters, and they had no idea. I mean, you could say to them, look, this man says he's the Christ. Well, duh, what's that mean? They didn't know what they were doing. He was just another rabble-rouser to them, causing them grief. At least when they put him up there, they changed their tune a little bit by the time he had died and been taken down from the cross. Remember the centurion who said, surely this was the Son of God? But nevertheless, they didn't, the Gentiles, they were as dumb as logs when it came to any of this. The Jews had the word of God in hand, and therefore they bear the greater responsibility. Well, you're trying to bring this man's blood upon us. Very interesting. Notice how the high priest says this at the end of chapter 28. He calls him this man. He won't name him by name. He's this man. And down to this very day, many of the Jewish people still refer to him in this way. That man. To name him. And to call him Jesus, and particularly to call him Jesus Christ. As a people, they have not yet gotten past the old problems that they had here. Well, let's see what Peter says to them and the other apostles. It wasn't just Peter. He said to them, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, here is your principle. As believers, friends, we are and ought to be law-abiding people. We ought to obey the laws where we live to the extent that we can obey them. When it gets to the point that you can't obey the laws where you live, you need to get out and go somewhere else where you can live a godly and lawful life and be obedient to the authorities. But you can never, as a believer now, get into a position where you are obeying men's laws rather than God's law. I think of Caspar Ten Boom, Corey Ten Boom's father, and others like him during the occupation of Holland by the Nazis during the war. They knew what the law was with regard to the Jews. They didn't obey them. They hid the Jews and stuck up for them and defended them because they knew the Bible and they had a higher calling than to the laws of the land in that case. And here's Peter. We ought to obey God rather than men. And he goes on in verse 30, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." You did it. You did it. Well, this high priest and these guys in the Sanhedrin here to whom Peter is talking, they didn't actually slay Jesus. They're not the ones that put him up on that cross. No, they got these poor, dumb Gentiles to do it for them. Peter's not having any of it. He said, "You did it, and you're responsible for it. And him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Now notice what Peter's doing here. He is still sticking with the very narrow gospel of as it went to Israel, to the nation of Israel. But he's got the gospel right, doesn't it? He has got the gospel right. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Wow. What a message. And Peter, I mean, here is the guy. It's amazing. Is he a spirit-filled man? He is a spirit-filled man. This is not the same coward that ran away and hid and denied the Lord Jesus three times not long before this. He's a changed man. The man is changed. The Lord has changed his life. The risen, glorified Lord is now driving this man forward and impelling him and empowering him. And I tell you what, we need more guys like this today. Now let's go on and see how Peter's message comes across here. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They're going to kill these guys. You know, I mean, for all of their highfalutin learning and knowledge, they didn't hesitate to kill people. They'd kill them, and they were going to kill them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Now this man Gamaliel, Paul will refer to him, we'll see it later on in the book of Acts, as he makes his defense before a crowd of Jews in Jerusalem. And he will say, Paul will, that he was brought up in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel. I suppose this is the same man. I don't know of another one. Here was a famous, well-known, and highly respected teacher. And he says, put him outside a minute. And he now stands up to talk to the Sanhedrin, and let's see what advice he gives them. He says, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him," or believed him, literally, "were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and even all as many as obeyed him were dispersed." Okay, they were dispersed. "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." Now, that was very good advice in this case. I think it's very interesting, and let me just say this about this. This is not uniformly something that you can do. For example, if we have Adolf Hitler preaching out here in the streets, we can't say, well, just let him alone. If this is of God, there's nothing you can do against it. We have the Word of God in hand, and we know what that man was teaching and preaching and all of his hatred that he was spewing. We know that wasn't of God. These men right here, this Sanhedrin and Gamaliel, They had the Word of God in hand. They could look at it. They could see all of the prophecies about the Christ. They could read the 2nd Psalm and the 22nd Psalm and the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And this is excellent, excellent advice that Gamaliel has given them. And they recognize it. They recognize it. To him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, kind of interesting here. Yeah, they agreed with him, but they still beat him up and then let him go and told him before they let him go, now that's it. We mean stop preaching in this man's name and stop teaching. And they sent him out there. Well, they sort of took Gamaliel's advice, didn't they? But they had to get their licks in, I guess, while they could. And they let these men go to see what would happen, I suppose. Well, what happened is history. They weren't able to stop this. There was not a thing in the world they could do to stop it. This was, as Gamaliel warned them at that time, of God. And God would not permit it to be stopped. And the gospel has carried all around the world. And aren't you glad, those of you who are saved, who are listening to me, aren't you glad that they weren't able to stop it? Because you are today saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. Well, let's look at see how this chapter ends up. And they departed from the presence of the council, the word is the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, I believe it is, yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. He wrote to the Philippians, Philippians 1:27, unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. You know what? That's true still today. Everyone who will live godly in Christ Jesus can get ready for it. Now, I don't know that I've ever suffered much for the Lord's sake, but I know this. The suffering is still a part of it. The rejection, the humiliation, the shame. And what did these apostles do about this? They did not for 1 minute slow down. Well, the chapter ends daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now the Lord Jesus still has his people out here. And by the grace of God, you're listening to one of them. And I'm not the only one. There are a lot of good men out here, a lot of women out with the gospel. And we will not be silenced. And for those of you who aren't saved, I want you to listen to me closely as we stop today. You need to be saved. You are standing in jeopardy every moment. Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. Why don't you trust him right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.